folks, and welcome or welcome back to NTI's Japan Real Estate Podcast. I'm your host, Ziv Nakajima again, and this podcast was brought to you, among others, by Emil Gorgis, a Tokyo real estate agent who specializes in serving international or mixed nationality families looking for the perfect family home. So Emil's an Australian. He's been living here in Japan for the past 2 decades, 8 years of which he's been actively buying, selling, and managing real estate properties in the city on behalf of his own family and a great many happy clients. And he also acts as a mortgage broker on behalf of his clients. So his company has a dedicated loan officer in many of the Japanese mega banks. And if you're a regular listener, you probably already know him from our JREP, the Japan Real Estate Experts panel sessions. So you're probably already aware that the man is an absolute fountain of wisdom on all things related to real estate in Japan, and in particular to family homes, the greater Tokyo metropolitan area, and mortgages. And most importantly, he's incredibly generous with his time and advice, which he's more than happy to provide at no cost or commitment to anyone asking. So if you've been thinking about buying your home in Tokyo, but you've been sitting on the fence for a while, or if you just want to have a chat in English with a real expert, drop him a line on emil.gorgis, that's emil.gorgis, emil.gorgis@tokyorealty.jp. Hit him up today and start exploring your options. Okay, so a nice casual conversation for you today. A bit of a soft landing from that high up in the sky kind of bird's eye view that we got from Shai Greenberg on our last episode. So in this call today, we're much more down to earth, talking with a super friendly young man who's been living in Japan for quite some time now, in Nagano City. He's gainfully employed with a stable income history, living with a Japanese wife who's also got a safe and stable income history. And they're just looking for their first home to call their own. So tired of renting. And we talk about all the things that a first-time family home buyer would want to know. Qualifying and shopping around for loans, borrowing capacity, interest rates, building versus buying secondhand, standard homes versus custom-made designs, building materials, location, all in and around the area that they're already living in. So nothing crazy expensive. How to find listings or development projects in your preferred areas, really basic stuff, but actually topics that we don't cover very often here on the podcast. So I thought some of our listeners might find some value in it. Enjoy the conversation, and I'll see you again on the other side. Okay, cool. So you used to live in Fukuoka, right? We actually got together talking about Fukuoka.
Yeah, I used to live in Fukuoka for, let me see, mate, probably 5 years, I think. Yep. Yeah. And it was first in Hakata, and then we moved to Nishiku, Imajuku. But then, you know, I'm working as an English teacher. But anyway, it was like a lot of things happening back then in Fukuoka. So long story short, I asked for a transfer, and now I'm here in Nagano. But we're thinking with my wife, I think I told you, while I'm moving overseas, but with all this situation with Corona everywhere, actually, we decided like maybe the best to do is just staying here. I don't know, if it's just the both of us, we are not thinking about like getting a property. But because of our daughter, I think now is the time to like, you know, settle down properly.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you are young or, you know, or you don't have like that much responsibility, you can just get a like renting like a place and that's it, yeah. But it's getting too expensive, yeah. Maybe I don't know if you're familiar with how like English teachers are here in this country, but it's always like a lottery, you know. It depends on how many contracts you get. I mean, your company gets. If it's not, if it's what happened back in Fukuoka, like, sorry guys, we don't have a contract, so you have to ask for a transfer. And that's really hard. You have to find a place. The real estate agents here, they charge way too much money, man.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, that's what I like trying to, you know, get into the market. But it's basically the first time. My wife is Japanese, but she's not that familiar with how the thing works. I'm sorry. She's just clearing up the snow.
Yeah.
the driveway. But yeah, we're just gathering information about like how the process is. I've been reading for a long time your posts on Facebook about real estate and stuff. And I think, well, that's a good idea about like speaking with you about that instead of just the regular real estate agent here. So
yeah, well, we're not a real estate agent, actually. We're happy not to be, so we're good with that.
Oh yeah.
But I guess the first thing to, I mean, if you're eligible for a mortgage, it's basically a no-brainer, right? Because if you're eligible for a mortgage with, you know, close to 0% interest, and you're not even investing your own cash into it, and then you can do whatever you want with the cash that you haven't invested, right? So you can, you know, get a mortgage from the bank, buy a home to live in, and then use that cash to do something a bit more financially savvy with it. If you're buying in cash, it's a little bit of a different story. It might still be worth it, but it depends on what you're getting and where. So I guess the first thing to understand is what's your borrowing capacity in Japan?
Well, right now I've been with the same company for like 8 years. I think so. I mean, that may count like a regular income, I reckon.
Yep. If there's a paycheck for a stable paycheck for 8 years, that's usually all they want to see. Yeah.
Yeah. And my wife, she's a pharmacist, but at the same time, she's been just jumping in between, you know, jobs as well. But she's got her license. She's got quite like a decent income, I reckon. So I think like combined would be like what, like 8.5 million, I reckon.
Okay. And are you a permanent resident too?
I am, yeah.
So, basically a no-brainer, man. You're definitely eligible for a loan, and it doesn't make sense not to take that money if it's close to 0%. So
sorry, is it okay if I can record this just for
sure. I'm recording it. I'll send you a link to it as well if
you cheers. Thank you, appreciate it. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, so as long as you're eligible for a loan, and it definitely sounds like you are, it doesn't make sense not to, I mean, right? Because they're going to give you not quite free money, but very close to it. And you buy a house, and then whatever you end up selling it, if and when you move away, it's just going to be pure profit. But are you looking? So you'd basically be able to borrow about 7 times your annual your annual salary. And I'm not sure whether, depending on how stable your wife's income history is, it might include hers. But if the bank feels that her income is not that stable, maybe it will only be based on yours.
But when you say stable, that means like what? Like it's been regular, or if it's like linked to the same company? You got like, you know, kind of like different things. If we were talking, for example, compared to the West, it's like if you've got like just a normal paycheck, regardless where it comes from, it's okay, yeah? Yeah. I'm with the same company. However, she's been an employee, yeah, but from different companies, because, you know, like she has to get a transfer and stuff. So I don't know if.
Yeah. So I don't know. That depends. It depends, number one, on how stable her income has been. If it's been similar, but from different companies, it might be okay. But if it goes up and down and fluctuates a lot, some of the lenders might not like that. So it's probably safe to assume, I mean, you'll check with the bank, but it's probably safe to assume that you're definitely going to be getting 7 times your annual salary personally. And then if, depending on the lender, if they'll consider her salary as well, then you might get more than that. But okay. I think in Nagano, 7 times the annual salary of an English teacher should be enough to buy maybe not brand new, but at least a reasonably aged, well, you know, good condition house.
Yep. We're speaking about like, wait a second. So we're speaking about like 50 million, right?
Yep. Maybe. I don't know what your salary is, but that sounds about right. Yeah.
No, yeah, I mean, I'm thinking like it's like 8.5 million combined, like my wife and mine's. Yeah.
Is yours about half of that?
No, I wish, mate. No. I can't think it's actually on us because she's got like more stable job than mine, I reckon.
Yeah.
It seems like her license is quite strong here in her career. So, yeah. And the thing is, we don't have like any debts. The only one maybe we've got is the car. That's it.
Yep.
But yeah, that's it. We don't have anything.
So if they do consider her salary, you're probably eligible for a very big brand new house or even two of them, because that'll be 8 million times seven. That's about 56 million yen.
Mm.
If they go only for yours, let's say, you don't need to confirm that. Let's call it 2.5.
Mm-hmm.
2.5 million times seven. That's still more than 15 million yen. That's about 17 and a half million yen, even if they only consider your salary. And that's a very reasonable house in Japan. Again, it's not going to be brand new, but it's going to be definitely in good condition, especially out there in Nagano. Are you in Nagano City or one of the smaller towns around it?
Yeah. Right now we're in Nagano City, but we want to move out of here.
Okay.
The thing I think I told you, we're looking about like Karuizawa, but you know, it's quite a bit higher if we compare, you know, with a normal, I think.
It can be, but we've had some customers look at Karuizawa. We've actually seen some properties over there. Some of them were cheaper than what I was expecting, to be honest. So they're not necessarily all crazy expensive.
Yeah, that sounds great. Because the town is lovely. I think it's quite convenient. We sometimes want to go back to Fukuoka, but we were checking, I remember, properties one time there, and I think it was Torikai.
Yeah, they're not that cheap. Like
it was like a brand new, cute. But, you know, like the area, you know, the land was kind of like too tiny. So it's basically like a three-story property.
Yep.
But man, I was quite like too much. I mean, the value, I reckon. The value, like, well, how much money you're giving them and what do you get in return?
It's not not Tokyo and Osaka, but it's definitely not the cheapest place in Japan, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, so, yeah, and the other thing was around Kansai, but, man, I don't know. I think, you know, if it's like a big metropolitan area, it's quite expensive, and it's very limited as well, like, what to get.
Yeah, if you like the Nagano area, and Karuizawa is gorgeous, if you like that area and you're okay with the cold, because that would be my breaking point personally.
We've been dealing with this, man, like since Christmas Day.
Yeah.
Oh man, it's insane. But surprisingly, it's much better than the winter down in Kyushu.
Really?
Yeah, definitely. For me, winter in Kyushu is quite annoying. But here, just get a proper, you know, jump out, you're good. But yeah, we're totally fine with the weather, yeah.
So then the other question becomes, depending on whether the mortgage is going to be just under your name or under your name and your wife's name, so how good is your Japanese? Are you conversationally okay?
Nah, if it's like that, like something that serious, like a loan or something related to like legal stuff, just go on the lady.
But I mean, the bank, they're just going to have a short conversation or two with you to confirm that you're really interested in purchasing a property, that you know that you're borrowing money, and it's not going to be a very legal heavy conversation, but they do need to know that you can understand what it is that you're doing, kind of thing.
Ah, that's totally fine. So,
especially if it's in both your names, that's a lot easier. Because then they can communicate directly with her.
Hmm.
So the first step would be to see whether you both comply with their requirements. So I would. Do you have the same? Have you been banking with the same bank for these last 7-8 years?
Yeah, I've been with Tokyo Mitsubishi.
Okay.
For 8-9 years, I reckon.
Mm. Yep. So you just walk into your. Do you have a Tokyo Mitsubishi branch in Nagano City?
I have to go to Tokyo, I reckon.
Really?
Wow. They have a trust branch. So it's like totally different, like local banking.
Yep.
So, although, whatever. Doesn't matter.
I would start there, even if it's a trust, if it's a union or trust or whatever. Just walk in there first and say that you've been banking with UFJ for the last 8 or 9 years and that you guys want to get a home loan. Mm-hmm. And then they'll either do it there or they'll refer you to where you need to go.
Okay.
But really, any bank for home loans, any bank in Japan will do. So it might be a matter of just walking into some local Nagano bank and seeing what they can do for you because you're residents of Nagano. They'll all be, I mean, you can even shop around and see who gives you the best terms, because they'll, most of them will definitely lend to you. From the situation you're describing, no debt, 8-9 years, stable income in Japan, with or without your wife's income being counted, permanent resident, there's just no reason that any of the Japanese banks wouldn't lend to you. And if you do it with her, so you come in with her and she, you know, she's a bit more fluent in Japanese, then I think 90% of the lenders will be definitely considering you. So from my perspective, if you're looking for a place to live in and they're giving you such low interest rates, I'd say it's a no-brainer. I definitely go for that.
We're speaking about a low interest. It's like how much? Or like
0.5, 0.7.
Seriously, mate, that's nothing.
Yeah. I mean, like, yeah. That's the most I've heard was about 1% for a home loan.
Yeah, that's quite interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then, well, if let's say like a 40 million property, how much you think is like a the monthly payment around? Like, I think we got like most of mortgages here, it's like for around like 35 years, isn't it? So
yes, you're young enough for you to be able to get the maximum length, so that would be about 35 years. So if you're looking at 40 million,
we interrupt this broadcast. I always wanted to say this. We interrupt this broadcast to tell you about Tokyo Family Stays. They're a short-term rentals company in Tokyo, and they offer a home away from home experience, which is just perfect for remote working, quarantining, or if you just need summer quiet to hide away from the world. So they offer a variety of options for families, for corporate relocations, or simply if you're transitioning between homes in Tokyo. Now, the properties are super comfortable, tastefully furnished, fully equipped with all amenities, and they accommodate up to 10 people. So really the only thing you'll need to bring with you is your toothbrush and maybe a change of clothes. They've got fast, unlimited wireless internet, dedicated workspaces, and fully equipped kitchens, and they're just a delight to stay in, a fantastic alternative to Japanese business hotels, which if you've ever stayed in one, you probably know they're tiny, they're noisy, fine for a night or two if you're on your own, but long-term or with a family, you'll probably feel you're in a jail cell very quickly. So if you want to give yourself a sense of space and freedom by renting a real home with comfortable Western beds, including all the necessities like baby bedding, children's toys, high chairs, you definitely want to reach out to Tokyo Family Stays. They've been at it for over a decade. They're a fully licensed minpaku or short-term stay operator. And as a special bonus for our viewers and listeners, they're also throwing in a breakfast basket upon arrival for anyone who books and mentions the Japan Real Estate Podcast or NTI. And not only for guests, if you're a property owner, you've got an investment property that you want to tweak for higher profits, or a holiday home that you want rented out when not in use via short-term stays, drop them a line today. See how they can help you maximize your property's income. And again, as a special bonus to our viewers and listeners, they're also offering a free audit of your existing short-term stay listings without any obligation whatsoever. So feel free to reach out to them at tokyofamilystays.com. Well worth your visit. And again, if you're in the market for a family home in or around the Tokyo metropolitan area, Emil's your man. Don't be shy to reach out to him as well at emil.gorgies, G-O-R-G-E-E-S, at tokyorealty.jp.
I'm not really a mortgage broker, so don't take everything I'm telling you with a pinch of salt. But
this is an estimate, yeah?
Let's call it even 1%. Probably about Juman yen a month, I think.
Juman,
maybe Juniman, depending on how they work out the interest. I'm not sure how the interest works out, so I don't think it's compounding. It's like a credit card.
Okay.
So probably Juman or slightly more, or slightly less.
Ah, decent though, because actually that's what we've been paying.
For exactly. Yeah.
Last and when we were in the Sumiyoshi back in Fukuoka, Imajuku was the same. These places were on. This is not like a massive place, you know.
Yeah.
Although I don't know if like a 40 million is like a decent amount for a property.
40 million in Nagano, even in Karuizawa, is a very decent amount, I'd say.
So average, how much you think like a
Well, in Karuizawa, you do have some very expensive, you know, half a million, 1 million types, perfect ski chalets from heaven kind of thing. But you can definitely find places there that would be about 15, 20 million, I'd say. Let me try to bring up, I can't remember when it was that I researched for a customer in Karuizawa. I'll let you know what I
remember. I checked a post from you. It was like some months ago that I think you guys sold the property in Karuizawa. Ah, place is awesome. Seriously.
No, I got it. Hang on. I found it. Let me open that file. So this was back in May last year. Two floor family. Oh no, that's Chiba, not Karuizawa. Sorry. Give me a second. So really beautiful place was about 60 million.
The one that you guys posted, that I think it was your wife, like something that I think was.
Yeah. And then there was another one that was a little bit less fancy, but huge plot of land. So 115 square meter. Wow. On 416 meter land. And that was brand new. It was built in 2021, and that was just 45 million yen.
Seriously, that's massive.
So if you're looking at something older here, I see one from 1980, which might be a little bit old for my taste, but that was just 20 million yen.
Yeah, well, the thing, like, you know, I've got a friend, they've got like a kind of like very old property in Itoshima.
Yeah.
And they just renovated the thing straight away. It was a beautiful house after the renovation. And they put like a 10 million, I reckon.
Yeah,
for renovating the whole place, like everything, like kitchen, ceilings, everything, beautiful. So I think we are quite open for that. However, I don't know if the bank allows that. You know, for example, like, look, the property costs, I don't know, 20 million, and we want 10 extra million for renovation. I don't know if they agree with that.
I have no idea about that. You'll have to ask them directly. They definitely, they lend money for building your own brand new home. So it is possible that they might lend money for an older home plus renovation. I'm just guessing, but that might vary between the lenders. So that's something that you'll need to ask them directly.
In your experience, you think it's convenient to get the land and build up the property? Like, you know, like from scratch, like, you know, you hire like an engineer, you hire an architect, maybe it's not that.
If you hire your own building company and your own architect, that means that you're building a kind of custom made house. So these tend to be a little bit more expensive. If you want one of those typical kind of cookie cutter housing company houses, they're usually about 20, 25 million to build. And plus whatever the land is going to be. So I would say, unless you've got any really particular requirements, buying something that's not too old is probably the better way to go. So find something that was maybe built in the last 5 or 10 years, and the price will be significantly lower. And the maintenance on these old houses doesn't really build up much until they reach about 20 years of age. So from 20, 25 years, the expenses, the maintenance starts building up. But before that, they're pretty low maintenance most of the time. So I would go for slightly older, not brand new, built by you, maybe something that's like 5 years old. You'll already find that the prices are a lot more attractive.
My question goes, I think you're familiar with that. It's not just about the design. It's just more about the materials. the materials are not the best for like a four season country.
Always going to be the same though, whether you buy brand new or secondhand. Some of the housing companies can provide brick, or sorry, we've got some cats making noises here. Some of the housing companies would build concrete or brick homes, but they'd be more expensive.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking about. Like, you know, if I can build up my own property, But if it's like way too much,
Well, building your own property, I don't know how different that would be, but if you're building anything that's not wood, you can probably add at least 15 to 25% on top of the building costs.
Yeah, I was thinking just to make like more energy efficient place, basically.
Most of the builders do offer these options now. There's been a big trend
Really?
towards that in the last 5, 6 years. So if you go to even one of your normal housing companies, like Daiwa House, or I think Daiwa actually do concrete too, if you want them to, then they would definitely.
Daiwa. But I don't recommend this placement. Or maybe because this property was built just for rent, I think. So it's quite like, I mean, it's not a bad place. Don't get me wrong, but if it's my property, but again, maybe they just built these things just for, for rent, basically.
I would
I
look
think.
at both, right? So if you go online and look for Karuizawa in any of the websites like Sumo or homes.co.jp or any of the typical, I can send you a list of property websites. You'll be able to find a lot of secondhand homes, so you'll get an idea of what they cost. And then if you go actually drive through Karuizawa, you'll probably see some building sites with big signs by the housing companies saying that they're going to be building new houses in this spot. And those signs, or if you just get a contact number and call them, you'll always be able to find out what these new houses cost as well. Just compare them, see which one. I mean, newer is always better, but the difference between brand new and 5 years old is going to be a big difference. So I would. To save a little bit of money, I would probably go for something that's not really old, but a little bit older, not brand new.
Yeah, I think the same as well. But again, I have to have a chat and a cup of tea with the lady and see what she thinks, sometimes they have like a very different perspectives.
And also don't
So
forget that it's a home that you're going to be living in. It's not strictly an investment property. I mean, you might be able to make a bit of a profit if the area goes up and you sell it, but it's not really an investment property. So the most important thing is just to make sure that you both like the place and want to actually live in it, right?
You guys are specialized in investment property.
And investment properties and holiday homes for owner-occupied homes, we can definitely help, but there's not a huge advantage to working with us as opposed to a real estate agent because you'll need somebody to. When you're shopping for a home for a family, you want to go out, 2, 3, 4, 5 weekends, one after the other, and look at different properties. And there's not really an advantage to bringing somebody like us in because we're an added layer of cost there. But what you can do, what a lot of people do when they do go that route is. You can just take us on as a consultant for a few $100 and just give us all of the listings that you're interested in and the potentials. And then we can just give you our opinion on what to look out for in each of them and maybe help point you in the right direction. But to actually go and visit the properties and review them in person, you don't need us for that.
Oh, it's great, mate. But yeah, definitely. But I think that's quite very nice information what I got from you today, because I didn't know that the interest rate was that low.
It is, yes.
I mean, I got surprised when we got the car. It was quite low, but but I didn't know that for a property. This is awesome.
Well, a car is basically a losing proposition for the lender. It's losing value from day one, whereas a house might actually retain the value. So they're a lot more lenient on that.
We were at the same time with the car. It was like 1.4% or something like that.
Yeah. With a house, it's in Japan at the moment, it's not going to be more than 1%, probably less.
That's great.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, so basically the best thing to do is just go do some like hunting, trying to get some property information and stuff like that. And then with that price, just call the banks and
Yep. It's best to, in Japan, it's still best to just walk into the branch in person, always. But if you're saying UFJ doesn't have, or you're not sure if what they have in Nagano actually works for that, maybe just try them first, and see what they'll tell you. If they say yes, you can come in and talk to us and do that.
That would be great. Yeah, well, The other thing, Ziv, it's much, is it better to like, you know, check with a construction company first, or, you know, like, or if there is any like direct, well, I don't know.
You can, if you can if you want, but I can tell you now that the price for constructing a new property is going to be somewhere between 20 to 30 million yen, depending on how fancy the property is. So you don't really need to talk to them ahead of time. Just look for land and see how much land is. If you can get land that's, you know, not going to take you over 40, 50 million, then yeah, maybe it's something to consider.
No, but I think like, is there any way that you can find somebody that wants to sell the property and doesn't have to be directly with a real estate agent?
Not unless you know them personally, no.
And it's quite...
Everything's done in via agents in Japan, unless, I mean, look, in like really rural farming communities where Farmer Bob is selling to Farmer Joe, then yes, but it's not something that you'll see advertised or be able to find by yourself.
There's definitely most of the properties are sold
via agents, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, good. Yeah. Bye, man. So, yeah, thank you very much.
My pleasure. Good luck with that. Sounds exciting.
It does. But, you know, I mean, we're still like, it's like an hour and a half drive to Karuizawa from here.
Yep.
And, you know, sometimes I'm on my day off today, actually. It's because like one of the schools got a positive case. So I had to go yesterday to get a PCR. Yeah, and get tested, and I'm waiting here for the results, by the way, but I'm feeling great anyway. But apart from that, there is no time, man, you know?
Yeah.
So, but definitely is what you say, actually, take like maybe 3, 4, 5 trips up there and, you know, have a look.
Yeah, but and start online too. I'll send you some links to websites to look at. Start online, see what you come up with, just to give you an idea of what's on the market.
Yeah.
And then if you're actually interested in looking at brand new developments, then it might be a good idea to just drive around and see what they're being, what's being built there. But otherwise, yeah, just hook up with the agents who are listing those secondhand properties and just organize to go out and see them. You know, stick as many of them as you can in a single day, make a day trip of it, and it'll give you a better idea. And it'll also give you something to bring to the bank to talk.
Oh, it'd be great. Yeah. I appreciate that. Yeah, so we'll get some like an extra information, and then again, yeah, if we have like another question, maybe we can get back to you and see if you can help us with, you know, some consultation or something. That would be great.
Happy to. Good speaking with you.
Cheers, mate. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Bye.
Okay, have a good one. Thank you.
You too. All right. That was a nice, friendly chat, wasn't it? Super basic stuff, but I'm sure that in the same way that a lot of that was new and exciting information for our caller, there must be some of you out there in a similar situation. So looking at purchasing your very first property here in Japan, just a family home to live in. I hope we brought you some value. Now, before we go, we're also, as always, going to tell you and also link to our other sponsor's website. That's Hiroshi Shimizu, immigration lawyer and administrative scrivener. If you're thinking about moving here on a more permanent basis, or you're already in Japan on some sort of a temporary visa and you want to switch to a longer term or permanent one, or if you're considering setting up a local company or a branch office of a foreign company and you've got any sort of business or visa related inquiries, or even if you just want to find out what your options are on any of these topics, feel free to contact Hiroshi Shimizu. You can find him at japanimmigrationexperts.com. And he can help you set up a company, apply for any kind of visa, or just provide you with the best advice and extremely affordable consultation related to these topics. And he's already done that for many of our listeners. So feel free to reach out to him. Again, that's japanimmigrationexperts.com, and you'll be well on your way. And that's it from us for today, folks. Hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Japan Real Estate Podcast. Do share it with your networks and please let us know what you think. So leave us a short rating or review on the iTunes store, on Spotify, or just drop us a line in the comment section of wherever you might have found this episode. We love hearing from you. Hope to have you with us again next time. And until then, have a great day or night ahead. Yoroshiku.